Greetings and attention on deck, my fellow Starfleet officers. This is your captain speaking, Mike the Birdman Dodd here for Future Imperfect, and I'm joined by my excellent executive officer,
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And yes, guys, we are back here on Future Imperfect, recording for the month of September. This is our second Future Imperfect this month, I'm pretty sure, actually. I think we did one at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, it was a pullover from GCR and Wars.
Ah, yes, that I'm the Picard bitch and many other memes that came out of that show.
Mean and otherwise.
That, yeah, both good, funny, and just some downright mean. So last time we talked about Trek versus, I think it was Trek versus Wars, right, wasn't it?
It was the original series versus the Next Generation.
That's right. And in this show, we're actually going to talk, not Star Trek, I know, blasphemy, right? We're going to talk about science fiction television shows that we really enjoy, and maybe where are they now? And just sort of kind of talk about the genre of science fiction in general, because right now, the only science fiction shows I can think of that are on TV off the top of my head are Defiance, Falling Skies, Doctor Who. That's it. All I can think of on major television, I think two of those are on Stars, and Doctor Who's on the BBC. I don't think there's anything majorly networky right now. I mean, they're all superhero. They're all Gotham or Constantine or Arrow or whatever. So I think now is kind of a good time to talk about some of those shows that we used to get. I mean, we used to have Battlestar Galactica on Sci-Fi. We used to have Firefly on Fox. Star Trek was a CBS property and still is. And that was syndicated across so many different networks. I remember when it was a big deal. So I guess that's kind of where we'll start today's conversation. And we want you guys to get involved in this. And I'd like you guys to tell us, what's your favorite old sci-fi TV show that doesn't get nearly enough love? So you can reach us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. Subject line, old sci-fi. And if you want to call into the show, we do listen to call-ins. That number is 817-717-7202. Steve, where do we start?
I guess, what shows did you watch?
When I was a kid, I grew up, I was born in 1981, so I was in the golden era of Star Trek for TNG, which means I saw Best of Both Worlds happen live when I was a kid, which was so badass.
Oh, yeah.
I used to watch that, but a show I really used to love, and I would love to know why this show doesn't get talked about nearly enough. The show was from Gary Goddard, and the show was called Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. And what this show was, you've probably heard of the toys. It was about Captain Jonathan Power and his ragtag group of rebels fighting against this guy called Lord Dredd. And he led this biomechanical army that wanted to digitize or put people inside computers after the Metal Wars. And it was really, really far ahead of its time because the toys could interact with the TV show. Basically, the TV show could shoot at you and your toy would take a hit. So you could die, quote unquote, in an episode. But just the storytelling at that time was really serious, and they would deal with some pretty heavy handed. I mean, people on that show could die. Like, you see people outright murdered off screen, but you know that they're dead. And the final episode of the first season has one of the main characters die, Jessica Chase Pilot, I think that was her name. And she was Captain Power's love interest during the first season. She kills herself to try and protect the rest of the team. And that's one of the big sci-fi shows I remember watching as a kid. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I remember watching random Battlestar Galactica episodes, but there was Battlestar Galactica 1981, which was stupid, and we're not going to talk about it. I remember Space 1999, not very well. I remember more of the model kits than I do anything. And there was a show on Fox, big surprise here, and it's not Firefly. And it was a show called Space Above and Beyond. And what this show was, I only ever saw trailers and maybe 20 minutes of an episode, but it took more of this exploration idea. And so it seemed very, it reminded me a lot of Battlestar Galactica, the reboot back in 2004. And I never saw much of it. I don't think it lasted more than 10 or 15 episodes, if that. So those would be the sci-fi shows I can think of. Now, I can think of campy ones like Cleopatra 2525, and nobody talks about that show. Or Lex. I never did watch Andromeda, despite, you know, Hercules, Kevin Sorbo kicking ass around the galaxy.
See, I did watch that one somewhat.
I never did watch Farscape, but I know it was a big deal because it had Jim Henson Muppets in it or something.
Aren't they making that into a new movie, or is that a different thing I might be thinking of?
I think they are, or they were supposed to do another one, I think, that concluded the series or something. There used to be a guy.
It's actually still going to be made into a movie, so I wasn't completely off.
Okay, well, that's kind of cool. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when you look at the early 90s to probably about the early 2000s, I'd say 2004 being the cutoff point, there was a lot of sci-fi, or, like, it was very hard to not have sci-fi on TV. I think Voyager was still on the air until 2003, 2004. The Doctor Who reboot hadn't happened yet. Battlestar was just starting to get off the ground. And, I don't know, it felt like it was a very friendly time for sci-fi. I mean, there were multiple Treks on the air. There was DS9, there was Voyager was coming to an end. Enterprise was still going, and Nemesis would be the last one we'd have in theaters before the reboot in 2009 with J.J. Abrams. Which, by the way, that's the show we'll be talking about in 2 weeks. The Abramsverse.
Yes.
But I'm trying to think of other shows, like other sci-fi shows that were on then. As a child, what did you watch? As a teenager, what did you watch?
I pretty much watched, as a kid, I remember watching, reruns of, like, Lost in Space and, like, $6 Million Man, you know, kind of campy type stuff like that, like, that fit into the classic Star Trek realm. I remember watching some, albeit weird, Captain Archer in, Quantum Leap.
I forgot about including shows like that. Did you ever watch Sliders?
Yeah, there was a show called Sliders. I don't think I'd actually watched it.
Oh, let's talk about Sliders. Oh my god. Okay, so Steve, if you've got Netflix, right?
Not currently, no. Oh,
god damn it! Someone give him a free month of Netflix. SCP21 on Twitter. Just give it to him. Okay, so Sliders. What it is, there's this kid named Quinn Mallory. He's played by Jerry O'Connell, who you may remember from Stand By Me as the fat kid. He invents this thing in his basement. He's trying to develop anti-grav, but he develops this portal that can jump between dimensions or alternate realities. It's not time travel, though that does come into it later in the show, not so much. And what happens is, he can slide through this portal. He can jump through it and appear in another world that's basically same place, same time, but everything else is different. So he could go to a world where JFK didn't die, where the Russians took over America, or maybe America lost the Civil War. And it was always these really cool alternate histories. And it was Quinn Mallory, his girlfriend, friend Wade, this black lounge singer named, I know his nickname was The Crying Man, but I can't remember what his actual character name was. And his professor at the college, Professor Arturo, who was played by John Rhys-Davies, who is the dwarf from Lord of the Rings. And it was an incredibly cool series because they would just do really out there things like, what if dinosaurs are still around? And the thing is, they had this invention, they had this thing called the remote. The remote would trigger the portal, right? The thing is, it needed to recharge. The timer would change until basically a portal back to wherever or the next sliding portal could open, but it would take, say, 36 hours. So they might slide to a world, be only there for 5 minutes, but that world could be filled with toxic gas. So you could die. And they would use this as like a plot device. There'd be another alien race that would show up called the Cro-Mags, and they don't like sliding technology. They're taking over the multiverse sort of thing. And it got really friggin' weird. It was one of those incredibly inventive sci-fi shows that came out of the 90s. And it was on Fox, later picked up by Sci-Fi. I think they picked up the third and fourth seasons. Jerry O'Connell left the show. They replaced him with his brother, Charlie, I think. Which they tried to explain that in the show. And it just never worked. He went back and
killed himself.
It was so weird. They're like, I've combined with my brother. Now we're a new Quinn. And I'm like, what? One of the best episodes was one that was very ambiguous. That word I can't pronounce. What my wife ambiguous? Said in the other room. Yeah, that's it. They slide to a world. It's the end of the world. They have 3 days before our star goes supernova. And the planet's wiped out. Now, when they go to alternate worlds, they can run into each other. The professor on this world is an asshole. He's an evil guy. So just before they're able to evacuate some people off this planet, the professors get switched. The world's about to blow up, and it cuts to the shot of the professor going, oh my God. So you think the good professor's trapped on the doomed world and the evil one's with them. And as far as I can remember, it's never made clear on the show which one survived, the good or the bad one.
Hmm.
And I thought that was such a clever storytelling device because I've never seen that happen outside of like a cartoon, like, or the Star Trek mirror universe with like the twirly mustache. I always thought that was so cool. And this was like I said, this was an early Fox show and they would take risks with stuff. I remember it used to air Wednesdays at 9, if I'm not mistaken. And that was a major network show. And I can't think of many other networks that took a lot of big risks with sci-fi. Although you would see them on Saturday afternoon, at least up here in Canada. You'd see these adventure-type shows. There was even another show. I think it was called Land of the Lost or...
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, with the dinosaur guys. And there was a guy called Professor Challenger or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that show was friggin' cool. They also had a show based upon this really obscure 1980s movie called The Beastmaster. And I only mentioned that in a sci-fi show because in the second movie, it involves a time portal and he comes to the future. It's weird. Plus, it's the fucking Beastmaster. I also remember there was another show involving... I think it was called Sheena, Queen of the Jungle, but that's more fantasy as opposed to anything else. But yeah, I remember that Land of the Lost was really, really, really cool. That was on Sunday mornings here in Canada. And what else was on during that time? No, that's more fantasy. I was going to bring up The Adventures of Sinbad, but that's more fantasy, I suppose. But I guess you could kind of bring that in this conversation, because there were more live-action fantasy-type shows, because during the 90s and early 2000s, we had Hercules, we had Xena, Young Hercules was a thing, Sinbad, Cleopatra 2525, as I've mentioned, there was Lex, Farscape, Andromeda. I remember another show, I think it was called Mutant X.
Yeah, it was on Fox, I think.
Yeah, and that was, like, discount X-Men.
Yeah, it was, too. And I did find it kind of interesting. I don't think it ever really went anywhere.
Yeah, like, I remember seeing the advertisements, because up here, we have this wonderful channel called Global. And Global Television used to make the world's most ridiculous television ads. They'd have this over-the-top announcer guy. He would be like, on Saturday night, watch Mutant X. And it was just so, like, 1970s trailer, ridiculous, stupid, that you'd watch it just because this guy told you to. There was another sci-fi show. I don't know whether you saw this one in America, but I think this was a Canadian production. And it was... it had Dan Aykroyd at the beginning of every episode.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was called Sci-Factor. Yeah, and these were real quote-unquote files that came out of the Office of Paranormal Investigations in the Canadian government. They randomly involved black holes, time portals, ghosts, and psychic. It was really friggin' weird. It had, like, Matt Frewer in it, who's, like, the world's greatest character actor. And it was just, it was really weird. But yeah, Dan Aykroyd would bookend every episode. And it was just, he'd come in, he'd sit on a desk, put his hands on his knees, and be like, and that's the cases of the psyops, or whatever. It was so stupid. But it had this certain kind of kitschy charm to it. There was another show that I think was Canadian funded, but I'm pretty sure you've seen it. It was kind of like The Twilight Zone, though it would air. I think it aired in the same time as The Twilight Zone. Like, I think these two shows competed. And it was called The Outer Limits. Yes. And that was a great piece of sci-fi television. And I remember, I think it was like a 3 or 4 parter type of episode. And it was about these little spider creatures called Sand Kings. And I think you and I have talked about this before. For some reason, I'm getting a random memory of this.
It may have been The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, but there were these little creatures, and they would build these really complex castles out of sand, and they'd come from Mars, and they could, like, talk to people or something. It was really, really out there. Oh, scatterbrain thought. I did think of a more modern sci-fi show, but it didn't survive past second season. Once again, what network do you think had it?
Fox.
Yep. Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
See, they should have stayed with television. Their films just plain sucked after 2.
Oh, God. See, 3 is barely tolerable to me. 4 is... Ugh.
Arnold showed up.
Oh, my God. And it's really unfortunate because it seems like Fox is willing to take the risk on a lot of projects. I mean, they took the risk on Firefly, which was described as a sci-fi western. They took the risk on, hell, even right now, even as we record this episode tonight was the first episode of Gotham, which is the Batman-less Batman show.
I have yet to watch that. I have it downloaded, but...
Honestly, it's not bad. It is not bad at all.
I watched Big Bang, and then I played Diablo 3 before. So,
but it seems to be like Fox, and there are people over there, and I don't know, I really doubt it's Rupert Murdoch's a huge sci-fi fan, but it seems like that network's willing to take chances. Now, you could probably argue the CW, formerly the UPN, when they did Smallville back in the early 2000s, you could kind of categorize them as sci-fi, because...
Well, they've kind of done a lot of that sci-fi kind of... monsters and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they've kind of taken that on themselves, and now they're switching off the monsters and moving on to superheroes. So,
yeah. Which is a good thing. I mean, I did appreciate a show like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I kind of would like something that long running, but for sci-fi. And I think the closest we've gotten recently would have been Battlestar Galactica, the reimagined version. And that series, helmed by Star Trek alum Ronald Moore, if I'm not mistaken, pretty sure I got that wrong. Someone's going to correct me, saying, "You bastard!" So feedback at thisweekingeek.net. And it took For those of you that don't know, in short, humanity lives in these 12 colonies, the 12 colonies of Kobol. And we invented these creatures called the Cylons to serve us. They're like basically robot people. So eventually we kicked their ass at great cost. And every year for like 200 years, we agree to a ceasefire. They're off doing their own thing. We know they're out there. Every year we send a guy to this space station in the middle of nowhere to talk peace, to talk terms. And for under 200 years, no one's shown up. Until one day, Cylons show up. They basically wipe out humanity. So there's only like 50,000 people left because they nuke every colony in the 12 colonies. And it's basically the race to survival for the Galactica, which is this big battleship, which is going to be decommissioned on the day when the Cylons attack, to find a new world, a new place to call home. And it's this incredibly dense and incredibly layered piece of sci-fi storytelling, headed by Edward James Olmos, who plays Commander Adama. Also, Michael Hogan plays his XO, whose name escapes me at the moment. And it's a lot of politics, and sci-fi and politics often dance with each other, as we've talked about on this show. I mean, for example, Star Trek's Measure of a Man, where Data, does he have a soul? Is he a person? Or other episodes like that, like basically talking about life or talking about security within the Federation. I know DS9 talks about it a lot when they deal with anything involving Section 31. Stuff like that. In Voyager, you could argue, whenever they discover a new species and more or less violate the Prime Directive, because, hey, why not? That's kind of an issue as well in politics, and getting yourself involved where you shouldn't be involved.
Fast-forwarding to kind of switch angles a little bit.
Yeah.
What are some sci-fi shows that you've watched over the last, I don't know, even 10, 15 years that have gotten canceled with like one or two seasons that you would have liked to have seen go on further?
Without a doubt, I can answer this without hesitation. Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles, because that's a show I felt had a lot of potential. They played with the idea of more future fighters coming back. They also explained Skynet has screwed up more than once. They sent a Terminator back too far in time. So he appeared in the 1930s. So he built himself into a wall and slept for 70 years. Another one, they have to build a time machine in a bank vault. So Resistance fighters are dropping off parts and safety deposit boxes, which only this captured T-900, which is the Cameron, which is Summer Glau's character, can rebuild. And that's a show. At the end of the second season, the show ends on a cliffhanger. We discover the person we thought that was the big bad guy is a woman named Weaver. She's a T-1000. But she went over to our side saying, you know what, we have to stop this. And Cameron sacrifices her memory chip or something to this other Terminator so it can learn feelings. And they transport John Connor and this T-1000 to the future, and they don't know who he is. Like, who the hell's John Connor? Why should we care? And that's pisses me off, because the show's executive producer has openly said, I will never tell you what would have happened. Like, someone give this man some Kickstarter money. Give me a TV movie. I want to know. Inquiring minds. So that's a show that should have continued. Another one, and Steve, did you ever watch Babylon 5?
I watched it briefly here or there around the time that I watched DS9.
There was a companion show, one of the only TV shows that get spinoffs, like Star Trek and Battlestar. Was a show there. Babylon 5 had this series called Crusader, and it was set upon another ship in the Babylon 5 universe. And I remember watching it like three or four times as a kid, And I wish I could remember more about it, but I remember really, really enjoying it. Although everybody says it's really, really stupid, which is unfortunate. But that's a show Sorry, what?
I was going to say, you know that they are working on a new live-action film of Babylon 5, right?
Oh, I know. I wait with anticipation. But yeah, that's a show that I kind of wish it kept going. And this one's going to be weird. This is a cartoon I wish that it kept going. Star Wars Droids. Because that show didn't last very long. So, like, it definitely didn't reach... I'm pretty sure it didn't reach the syndication limit of 62 episodes. I'm pretty sure of that. And I felt like they could have done more in that universe, but I think it was the time that it came out that it was all Lucasfilm wanted to be all really kind of kiddie-friendly. And I guess another one, maybe the Clone Wars series, though it did get a proper send-off on Netflix, but I felt like they could have done more with it because they teach Yoda how to become a Force ghost, but he has to learn it from the Sith and all that. It's really weird.
Huh.
I would have liked to have seen one episode post Order 66, but I guess Star Wars Rebels that comes out in just a few weeks, I think, will answer that because it takes place between Episode 3 and A New Hope. What about you, Matt?
Well, that's good. A couple of shows I was going to mention. I don't know if you've ever seen Flash Forward.
I've heard of it. What is that show about?
It's actually on... it was last night. I knew it was on Netflix. It was a show on ABC where a special task force in the FBI investigates every person on Earth seeing simultaneous blackouts and awakens with a short vision of their future. And so essentially the FBI is having to piece together the future from all these random people's short visions that they had after the blackout.
Weird.
To prevent, and it's really freaking interesting. And then by the end of season one, there's another kind of cataclysmic event that happens, and then you find out that there's no more episodes.
That's
and it's written by one of the Star Trek scribes, Brannon Braga.
So if anybody knows what they're doing, it would more or less be him.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they wrote Star Trek, Voyager, First Contact, and Generations, so.
Yeah, so we can't land there. Oh, there's another show that I forgot to even mention, and this is kind of a weird one. My wife watches this show and really enjoys it. Lasted 3 or 4 seasons, I think, and it was called Roswell. And it was about aliens living in New Mexico. They were all grays, but they had human form. And it was like a high school drama. It was really weird. I watched a couple episodes with Blair. Actually, I think Robert Patrick, the T-1000, stars in it. Oh my god, I just thought of a show that I just remembered. I can't believe I missed. What was one of the biggest sci-fi phenomenons?
X-Files?
Yes, exactly. That
show.
I was
wondering if you were going to bring that up or not.
Oh, my god. Once again, half the show is just me waxing poetic. Yeah, the X-Files started in 1993, if I'm not mistaken, follows two FBI agents, Dana Scully and Fox Mulder, part of the X-Files division of the FBI, basically, where they put all the weird shit, the weird shitophiles, and Fox believes that aliens are real, the paranormal is real, all the weird stuff, he's a firm believer, whereas Scully was sent there to be his partner to debunk his stuff, to be the skeptic. And over the course of the series, they encounter multiple alien races. One of them played very awesomely by Brian Thompson, who's this great character actor. He plays a guy called the Alien Bounty Hunter. You might know him, Steve, as Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat 2 Annihilation. I'm trying to think.
Possibly.
You would know him to see him. He's got a very distinctive face. And one of the best villains I thought in sci-fi is this thing called the Black Oil, which is this alien that it takes over your body. The only way you can notice it is by noticing the black oil film passing over someone's eyes when they're talking to you, and they can generate blasts of radiation, but if the oil's in you too long, an alien gray gestates and bursts out of you, kind of like Alien.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was, ugh. But then there were these, there was this weird storyline where there were these alien rebels that wanted to fight against colonization of the Earth, because this the black oil aliens are this destructive parasite on the universe, and no one likes them. And it got really weird, but X-Files would play with a lot of really cool episodes. There's another one called Kill Switch. I think it's in the fifth season, written by sci-fi legend William Gibson, the guy that wrote Cyberpunk, or coined the term Cyberpunk and wrote Neuromancer, would write an episode, and it was involving artificial intelligence, and it was this thing trying to kill Mulder by blowing up, like, Transformers or having his computer track him there so bad things would happen. But it would also deal with, like, paranormal episodes. There was an episode in the fifth season, once again, written by Stephen King called Chinga, which is, you can think of, like, it was like the whole cursed doll phenomenon. But they'd also deal with government conspiracies. Some of that, there'd be multiple special insiders that would help Mulder. There was like Jerry Harding in the first season as Deep Throat. You'd have Stephen Williams as Mr. X for a few seasons. And it was always, they'd always play with sci-fi or paranormal themes. You very rarely had crimes that were mundane. They'd always appear really, really, really weird. And the chemistry between David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson was amazing, because people would ship that relationship so hard. And when they almost kissed in the X-Files movie, Fight the Future, back in the 90s, 98, I think, I was one of the few people in the theater that was like, no, don't kiss, you're going to ruin it. Fox Mulder belongs to no woman. I took that show way too seriously. Like, retardedly hard serious. But yeah, that's a show that, it had a really limp ending when that show ended. And the movie that came out back in 2008, I think it was, or no, maybe 2009, probably 2008, was called I Want to Believe, and it went more with the Monster of the Week angle. It was so stupid. It answered nothing. Now, there is talk Chris Carter bringing the series back for a third movie to conclude the Alien storyline, but that's the thing. With certain sci-fi shows, and I find this more so with sci-fi than any other genre show, and feel free to disagree with me here, if the show runs too long, it gets stupid. A really good example of this, and I feel bad for saying this, is Voyager. Voyager had a really weak first and second season.
Well, Voyager fizzled out because it didn't know what the hell it was trying to accomplish, and it kept trying to mutate as it went along and still didn't know what it was trying to accomplish, which is why it failed.
And it sucks, though, because I thought it had a really great ensemble cast.
It did. It just didn't know how to use them.
Yeah, like, I think once they brought on Seven of Nine, and not to knock Jerry Ryan, that's when the show, and it jumped the shark, and it was at its peak, I feel, in seasons four and five. There were some really good episodes in 6 and 7, don't get me wrong, but that's a show that maybe should have had a bigger plan. If you could somehow start the series at the beginning of season 3 and move forward, I'd be okay with it. There's certain shows, and I think sci-fi gets this, because it takes a long time to establish the universe.
Well, sci-fi, it's generally a long journey.
Yeah.
Whereas you're looking at other shows and it's basically a sprint or a villain of the week type thing. Like, you look at every cop show that's on TV right now, it's freaking villain of the week.
Oh, yeah. It's
There's nothing. I mean, yeah, it pushes the stories of the characters along a little bit here or there. But ultimately, it's villain of the week. Whereas sci-fi has kind of villain of the week, but they're also dealing with this more comprehensive struggle along the way, which I feel that I think that that's kind of a lost art. I'm not saying that some of the shows out now don't cover this, because a lot of them do. It's just, I feel like they're not, I don't know, as strong as they used to be, because a lot of the shows don't last very long.
I would say Doctor Who's a really good example of episodic television that you can almost jump in at any point and get it almost immediately.
But the formula stays the same.
It does.
They just restart it every few years so that they can reinvigorate it with new, you know, a fresh start in case you don't want to go back over the last 40-some years of continuity.
Which is kind of nice.
You can just start from ground zero, which don't get me wrong, is nice if you like the show, but it's, it, you know, it, I think that that's the only reason that the longevity for that show has continued as long as it has, whereas Star Trek, it's fizzled out because it's not because it's trying to evolve and grow into a new show and it's focused on a new cast, but I think because they get way too far off of where it started.
Yeah, I think in some ways the universe has become stale. Like in Star Trek, for example, if you look at the whole pre-Abrams verse, so we're looking at everything Star Trek Nemesis and backwards. There were stories left to tell, but the characters that we've grown accustomed to and thought were interesting, their journeys were over. Like Voyager got home, cool.
For instance, they should have made a DS9 and Voyager film,
or at least a television movie of some kind.
Well, regardless, they should have. I mean, they should have skipped Nemesis. I mean, or if they were gonna, well, never mind. Skipped Insurrection, which is just a long TNG episode. Move Nemesis back one, and then make some DS9 Voyager films.
Yeah, I think DS9 is the one franchise that I think that really could have held its own as a film. The problem is DS9, to the large majority of people, is not as culturally relevant as TNG. Which really sucks, because that, once again, strong cast. But if you ask people who do they remember more, Data or Odo, I guarantee you the answer is going to be Data.
But again, I think that, I mean, there could have been ways that they could have united all three casts, being that they're all in the 24th century.
Oh, absolutely.
And kind of pushed it forward some. And even if they wanted to sprinkle in some of the original series cast, they could have. They could have made it like a best of cast type thing and had, you know, some kind of a perilous event that's going on across the, you know, the galaxy. And they need, you know, the best of certain crews. Like maybe take, you know, for the doctors, they get, you know, Bashir and the holographic doctor. Or they take, you know, several, you know, take maybe Data and Odo and Worf and Sisko, and, you know, had Janeway kind of playing second fiddle to Sisko, or, you know, I mean, taking kind of a best of crew, which I think that could be a fun topic to play around with. And
like there could have been an epic multi-part crossover movie event where they could have done this within the budgets of their own shows, in theory.
They could have, but I think it would have been interesting if they had turned that into a trilogy rather than making
three Next Generation movies. Yeah.
Well, even the Next Generation movies, the First Contact should have been the last Next Generation movie.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
And then, because they kind of, I mean, not that I disagree with the, you know, Riker and Troy getting married and moving off and, you know, Worf and Geordi staying with Picard, and I kind of disagree with Data's demise, whereas I agree with it in the continuity of the comics, where he becomes captain of the Enterprise. And so, I mean, there's all kinds of different directions they could have gone and still given everybody their send-off without having to basically annihilate the ship and the cast.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing with sci-fi, you either have something fantastic and it goes out way too soon, or you have something fantastic that turns out to be shit. Or, because I don't often hear things starting as shit and turning out to be great. I could make a case for Voyager, but I can also make a very strong case against it as well. And that's because Voyager is my favorite series, so I could go either way on that. Another show that, because we're Bell talking, House. Yeah. Oh man, anything Whedon touches, and that kind of is a good lead in to what I want to talk about right now. You look at some. I was mentioning network shows that are sci-fi-y. One big one I forgot to mention: Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is a show very much superhero-based, but it takes a continuity that was established in movies and has to expand upon it. And it's one of those things that we've seen TV, we've seen movies turned into TV shows with varying degrees of success. Usually it's the opposite. And Marvel sits in a very unique place, or S.H.I.E.L.D. does, rather, the fact that it needs to keep audiences interested between films. Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 has to lead into Avengers Age of Ultron, which means it has to be enough to sate people enough for Avengers 2, and I think, is Ant-Man out next year?
I think so.
Yeah, so it's got Ultron and Ant-Man next year, so it has to sustain that interest. And that's a tall task. But the bonus side of it is the universe has already been built. The problem is doing it on a television budget means that huge universe can shrink remarkably fast, which is a reason S.H.I.E.L.D. was frankly very boring in the episodes before the mid-season hiatus.
Well, they were boring up until Captain America 2 came out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, after the January-February break because of the Olympics, yeah. There were some good episodes in there, but you're right. After Captain America hit, that's when that show hit the ground running and didn't stop. That's where that show has to be all the time now. And that's, I feel, the challenge that a lot of sci-fi shows are now going to have to face. They're now going to have to look at building universes that are interesting. And there, like I said, there's a few shows that are coming out now, I think, have their work cut out for them. Gotham is definitely one of them.
I don't think The Flash has much to worry about.
Yeah, because Arrow has already built the universe for them.
Well, not only that, but it's just the nature of... with just having seen the pilot already, I don't have any doubt in my mind that that show will keep going.
Hmm. Another show that will try very hard to establish its identity is Constantine, because I think it will inevitably get compared to Supernatural. I think that'll be the big comparison it gets.
But the thing with Supernatural is even though they haven't announced it, I'm pretty sure season 10's it.
Oh, God. I hope so.
I hope so, because the things that they've set up in the last season, at least what they tried to set up, not in season 9, but season 8, the season finale of that, with what they were doing with Sam, I think that's going to come back into play with Dean in season 10 because of the events of the season finale of 9. So it's... I have my theory, but I'm pretty sure I know how it's going to go down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think season 10's it for that. So, I mean, I think Constantine might have a shot. It might may get low ratings only for the first season, based on that nobody knows what the hell it is unless they've read the comic. Or, you know, there's other shows like, I don't know if Grimm's still going, but...
I guess we could talk about this very, very, very briefly, where shows kind of get a kick in the ass to kind of keep them going. And I can think of this, I can think of a Star Trek example, and I can think of a really modern example of this. Star Trek Voyager got a kick in the ass when hot, sexy Borg showed up. Because the Borg is one of the biggest villains in Star Trek, and everybody loves them. Nobody hates them. It's kind of like the Daleks in Doctor Who. You have the Daleks show up, people will watch. The Borg show up, people will watch. Put tits on a Borg, people will watch, and fap. Please don't call me sexist when I say that. Sex sells. This is very much a true thing. But that was that show's kick in the ass. It needed Seven of Nine. It needed Jerry Ryan. Another show that's, I think, attempting to get a kick in the ass... There's a show called Once Upon a Time. They're bringing in the characters from Frozen.
I think it was doing fine until they hit the Peter Pan thing.
And I'm just thinking, I don't know.
The Wicked Witch thing I think did all right. The Peter Pan thing just got to be flipping annoying. And then the Wicked Witch thing, I was like, it's another throwaway. Like, because every half season they got a new villain. So, I mean, Frozen won't last long. Honestly, I don't see that going past 5 seasons.
Yeah.
I don't think it should.
I mean, certain shows should have a definite ending. And that's the problem, I think, with Star Trek specifically. I can think of the show that had a definite ending in mind, in my opinion, or should have, Voyager. What was the goal of Voyager? Get home. What was the
goal? It seems like the end of Voyager got kind of, I don't know, thrown together at the last minute, like saying, look, you're out of money, you're at 7 years, finish it now.
Yeah.
And the originals, or not the original series, that one was the worst off, but I think that with The Next Generation, you know, they had somewhat of an idea how they wanted to end it, you know, like bookending it with Q and having the trial of humanity be the beginning and the end.
But I felt that was a weak series finale.
It was, but it wasn't.
It was satisfying in some regards, but not as action-packed as we would have liked.
True. I mean, there could have been something more. I mean, I did feel that there was a lot of... I mean, I loved how everything played out, but I wish there was a little bit more action to it.
Yeah.
But not to make it Abrams action. And then there's, you know, the DS9. You know, they make the profit thing and everything... It's pretty much battle and taking, you know, command of the space station and the wormhole from day one. And then by the end, you know, it bookends too.
Yeah, I think DS9, I think, has the strongest of the Star Trek finales.
Which is funny considering it was not very highly rated by many.
Which is kind of sad because you look at all that was accomplished in DS9. DS9 told a wonderful war story.
It did.
And Voyager told an okay story of getting home. Honestly, that show was more about the crew than the voyage.
Honestly, yeah, it was. But, I mean, there were so many opportunities to get home, but Janeway had her head up her ass, so...
All she had to do was blow Q that once.
Yep. If she would have said, yeah, I'll have your Q, baby, and then... He would have taken him home.
And you know what? Jamin could have said to Q, you know what? After we do this, erase my memory. Okay.
That wouldn't be very hard for him.
Exactly. Like, here's your baby. Here, you're home now. Fuck off. You forget everything. I'll see you later. But I digress. So I guess to kind of wrap this up, there's a lot of really good sci-fi out there. Unfortunately, a lot of it's been canceled. But there are some shows you should check out. One show I really hope it gets a fair shake this year, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Highly recommend this show, especially if you're into the Avengers and Age of Ultron, which comes out in May. There are crossover episodes planned. So,
well, and Ryan. Season 2 is going to also bridge up to Age of Ultron.
Yeah, like there's going to be shit mentioned.
Yeah, it's and I think that this season 2 is going to keep running with the momentum that the end of season 1 had, so I don't think there'll be much time to worry.
Yeah, and that's I'm trying to think another sci-fi show I'd recommend you check out. I'm trying to think of what else. I might, like I said, I don't want to label this under sci-fi shows, but I recommend people give Gotham a chance. Like I said, I really wish I could speak about Defiance and Falling Skies. I just don't know much about it other than Noah Wiley as the guy.
Well, I know of a show that actually airs and is produced and made in Canada. And then they show it here on Sci-Fi as well. It's Continuum.
That's another one, yeah. Oh, man, I just thought of one that we missed, and I can't believe we missed it.
Tomorrow,
Stargate.
People.
That show had a million spinoffs.
I know, Stargate was pretty long run, and I thought that was going to be like the Star Trek of the modern day.
And no one talks about it, which is really unfortunate. So if there's any Stargate really big fans, tell me what I should watch, because I've got the role-playing game based on the TV series, but I don't know anything about the TV series. Although... I was gifted the first 7 seasons on DVD when I was younger. Still have them. So I know it's on Netflix. I'd love to know where to start. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net. I would love to hear some people sell me on this series. Because I saw a few episodes of Stargate Atlantis and thought it was cool. I really wish I could say more about it other than the fact that I know the holographic doctor's in it and MacGyver's a guy in it, Richard Dean Anderson. And Beau Bridges, I think. Another show I'd recommend people check out on DVD, if you want some really interesting old sci-fi, I really do recommend you check out Captain Power and Soldiers of the Future. And for a new modern-ish show, if you really want something that'll make you think and is really kind of edgy, the reimagined Battlestar Galactica. All these shows are on Netflix except for Captain Power. At least ones that I've mentioned-ish. Steve, what about you?
Like I said, I'd mentioned Continuum for a modern one. I, of course, am going to pimp out Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, and Gotham and Flash and Arrow and those kind of things. Supernatural, you can almost argue, not only is supernaturalistic, but it also is kind of between that, kind of borderline that and sci-fi, because they kind of jump into all different areas. Even though that's going to end.
Yeah. Also, people should keep an eye out for Star Wars Rebels that starts out really soon.
I'm actually kind of excited to hear what's going on with that. I don't get the station that it's going to be on, but I am kind of interested in that as well, just because it'll bridge the gap between 3 and 4, as well as...
set things up for Episode 7s.
Yeah.
So, hopefully it'll be cool.
Yeah.
One final thing I wanted to mention. This series is on Netflix. I don't know if it's there anymore. People should check, if you want a really interesting sci-fi cartoon, check out Tron Uprising.
That was really good, actually. Surprisingly
good. Movies, take them or leave them. Legacy was okay. Anyway, so for Future Imperfect, brought to you by the good folks over at Starfleet at sfi.org. Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, we have been
Steve Megatron Phillips.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live long and prosper.